Chapter 8. Adrenaline coursed through me as the Hadron Collider hummed below us, and we were one step closer to stopping the war. I suddenly had all the energy in the world, and it felt like I had just taken 6 shots of espresso. "Okay," I said as I wiped my brow. "Let's get the hell out of here."
"I never want to eat eggs again,"
Becca said as we started to jog back around the hillside. As we made our way around the base of the hill, I could see multiple dinosaurs move beyond the line of trees. None of them seemed to be directly coming toward us, though, and it looked like we had managed to kill the 2 Chingisauruses unnoticed.
"So it's working now?"
Cat hissed.
"We really did it?"
"Sounds that way," I grinned. "I guess we better get ready to board an alien craft."
"Holy shit!"
Haywan quietly squealed. We ran toward the group of CERN workers, and Leo stood with his sharp gun poised and ready as the 3 scientists pressed themselves up against the trees. Then I gestured for them to follow us, and we started to head back to the base. Multiple roars and dino cries rang out over the landscape as we ran, but we managed to navigate back to the dome without any more run-ins. I turned back and let the scientists run ahead to get to the door first, and I slowed down as we reached the cover of the 2 spaceships. "Everyone okay?" I asked quietly as we headed into the dome, and the girls nodded.
"I'm super gross and sweaty,"
Becca moaned as I shut the door behind me.
"I think pregnancy has given me extra sweat glands or something."
"Delightful,"
Kat snorted as we stood in the round lobby.
"That was horrifying," Mateo said and turned to me. "You guys have done that all before?"
"Please,"
Becca laughed.
"2 dinos is nothing. We've taken down entire herds before we even had these awesome alien weapons."
"How did you know what to do?" the engineer asked.
"Jason always figures it out,"
Haywan shrugged.
"He has a talent for dino hunting."
"More than a talent,"
Kat added.
"It's like he was born to do it, and it helps that we make a pretty great team."
"We are family,"
Adhara said with a stoic nod.
"We protect each other."
Not to interrupt the compliments, I said hurriedly, "but how do we see if the Hadron Collider is working now? It sounded like it was, right?"
"It did," Arnie nodded. "There's something comforting about that sound, I always think."
"There was nothing comforting about that trip,"
Hilda spat.
"We almost died."
No,
Becca said.
"We almost died fighting dinos. You stood under a tree while Leo protected you."
"This is accurate,"
Leo agreed with no inflection in his tone. "Let's get going," I said hastily, before the red-headed scientist could make any more comments. "Where do we go to see if it's working?"
"The entrance is in Building 33,
Mateo said warily.
"I'm not sure if we should..."
"We have to," I interrupted. "Don't worry. You guys don't have to come. You can just tell us where it is."
"I'll accompany you," Arnie said, and stood a little taller. "It's a short distance, just to the gray building on the other side of the roundabout. Now that we've seen you lot in action, it doesn't seem quite so perilous to make the journey. We'll give these 2 a chance to rest. Maybe a cup of tea will make it all right, Hilda."
The red-haired scientist sniffed and turned on her heels to make her way back up the ramp. Mateo sighed, and then he turned to follow his colleague.
"Be careful," he called over his shoulder. "There might still be dinosaurs in that place."
"We can handle it," I replied. "Thanks."
"Don't mind Hilda," Arnie whispered. "She was like that even before the dinosaurs came."
Haywan giggled, and she laced her fingers into mine.
"Are you 2 married?" Arnie asked. "What a lovely couple."
"I'm married to him, too,"
Becca said, and quickly stepped closer to my side.
"Both of us locked this ass down. And these 2 aren't married to him. Well, not yet, but they are going to do it soon."
Kat's pretty face flushed as Becca gestured to her, but she didn't make any snarky remarks or protest. Adhara didn't say anything either, but she flashed me a smile that hinted I might have another bride not too far in the future, which made me briefly wonder what the protocol was for marrying a girl who lived off-planet.
"Oh," Arnie said with a raised eyebrow. "Well now, aren't you a lucky young man?"
"The luckiest," I grinned.
Anyway.
Kat cleared her throat, and her sculpted cheeks were still pink.
"Let's get over to that entrance."
"Quite right," Arnie agreed, as we crowded back around the doorway. "So, these weapons, alien, I presume?"
"Oh, yeah," I laughed. Humans are a long way off from creating something this amazing. Do you know how to use a gun?
Oh, no, Arnie laughed. I'm afraid not. I do think I could maybe stab something if it came to it, though. Although you saw by my previous injury, I'm not the fastest man.
Here,
Becca said, as she took a fire sword from her belt.
Why don't you take this? It's a sword.
Arnie held the dark green hilt and examined it closely. You hit the button for the blade, I explained. Try it. The older man cautiously held the weapon at arm's length, and then hit the button in the center of the hilt. There was a faint buzz as the glowing blade came to life, and Arnie's eyes widened before he howled with laughter.
Extraordinary, he muttered. Gosh, thank you, young lady.
It's Becca,
the blonde laughed.
And you are super welcome. Adhara and Leo are very generous with their weapons.
Adhara smiled, and Leo looked at Becca with only a raised eyebrow. It cuts through anything, I said. If you chop at a dino's head with that, you've automatically won. The man gripped the hilt with both hands, and his beard made him look like Santa Claus had just entered the apocalypse. Okay, I said, as I slowly opened the door of the dome. We just head straight for the building. Will it be open?
I have the keys if it's not, Arnie said. But I do believe the doorway was left unlocked when we all left. I supposed we just ran as fast as we could.
Makes sense, I nodded. That means we might run into something inside. Everyone keep your wits about you and stick behind me, okay? The team nodded, and I opened the door a little wider to let in the roars and unpleasant smells which drifted over CERN. The run to Building 33 looked like it should take less than a minute, but I knew we would need to slow down a little for Arnie. I stepped back from the door when a shadow flew over the ships, and I waited until the flap of leathery wings had disappeared before I opened it again. "Looks clear," I said quietly. "Let's go." I stepped out into the daylight with my sharp gun held against my chest, and the rest of the group followed behind me. Then we hurried out of the shelter of the dome and started to jog past the glistening force fields of the ships. I could hear heavy footsteps nearby, and the dull sound of far-off cries. We crouched as we ran, and I glanced back to see the girls and Leo had formed a circle around Arnie. About 50 yards to the left, there was a sleeping ankylosaurus, and we sped up slightly as its loud snores echoed around the landscape. Building 33's entrance was straight ahead, and it looked like the glass door was indeed open. Or rather, it had been smashed to pieces and shards of glass were scattered everywhere. There were dark bloodstains smeared on the steps, and a man's brown leather shoe lay on the ground nearby. I tried not to look too closely at the shoe and raced up the stairs into Building 33. Then I carefully stepped through the broken doorway and into the reception area. None of the windows were boarded up, so there was plenty of natural light to navigate with, although that did mean we were easier to spot by hungry dinosaurs outside. The reception desk looked untouched by any chaos, and still had an office chair tucked behind it, along with neatly organized pens and stationery. The sight of something so normal next to the blood-stained floor was slightly jarring. I made sure everyone was inside, and then Arnie pointed down the right side hall. I nodded and carefully started to walk down the corridor. The floor was made of dark linoleum, and there were photographs of the Hadron Collider framed all over the walls. I kept an eye on the windows as we walked, and then I slowed down as the corridor came to a fork. Carefully, I peered down each side, and both were quiet and still. I glanced at Arnie, and he gestured to the left.
"The staff door," he whispered. "Second door on the left."
I nodded again and made sure to check the back of the group to make sure nothing was silently following us. Leo was at the rear, and his determined scowl reassured me that the group was in safe hands. We took the left, and when I reached the staff door, I grabbed the silver handle and pushed. Then a small yellow raptor flew at me as the door swung open, and I shot it in the head before I had time to think. The bullet pierced the skin right between the raptor's orange eyes and burrowed deep through the skull. There was a small eruption of blood from the back of the dinosaur's head a split second later, and then it toppled forward with an unpleasant squelch at my feet. The raptor was only about 4 feet long, and its tail looked like it had some kind of feathery texture at the end.
A balaur, Arnie said as he peered down at the body. Small, but I imagine those talons could do some damage.
The claws did seem weirdly thick for the small frame of the dino, and I peered into the dim room to scope out if it had any herd buddies. I reached over to the light switch, and the room was illuminated with a gentle buzz. Once we made sure everyone was inside, Leo kicked the dead dinosaur out unceremoniously before he shut the door. We were inside a room with rows of computers and desks, along with piles of boxes stacked up in the corner. There was a musty smell, like someone had left a damp towel laying around or something. The carpet was navy with coffee stains, and the walls were painted off white. Arnie sat down at one of the computers and carefully pressed the button on the sword to retract the blade before he laid it down on the desk.
Right, he muttered as he started up the computer. Let's have a look.
Is this where you control the Hadron Collider?
Haywan asked, as she strolled around the room and examined the computers.
No, no, Arnie replied. This will just give me a little update on how it's getting on with the reset. It should all be finished up by now.
I stood near the door to keep an ear out for any more dinosaurs, and we gave Arnie a moment to get the computer started up. The old man hummed to himself as the screen flashed to life, and he opened a program which displayed multiple complicated graphs.
Do you think there are more Omati?
Adhara asked as she stood next to me. Probably, I nodded. Raptors usually move in packs, and they've got their own little palace here now that all the people have moved on.
Interesting fact.
Arnie swiveled his chair around to look at me.
A pack of raptors is in fact called a kettle, much like a flock of birds of prey would be.
How British.
Cat chuckled.
I'll never say put the kettle on again.
Yes, I agree.
The scientist chortled and turned back to his computer.
What's the door beside us?
Becca asked as she peered into one of the boxes.
Is that a staff room or something?
The one we walked past, Arnie asked. Oh, that's the kitchen supplies. Rather unfortunate that I don't have a key for that one. The catering staff was the only ones with access, and I'm sorry to say they aren't around anymore.
I looked over at the old man as he clicked on something, and the girls all grinned at me.
So it's full of food?
Cat asked.
Like long life stuff?
I imagine so, Arnie nodded. If I was a younger man, perhaps I could have broken down the door.
What about being an older man with an alien sword?
Becca smirked. The scientist spun his head around to look at the blonde, and his face broke into a grin.
This will cut through it? He asked.
Sure will,
Becca replied with a nod. Arnie looked at her silently for a moment as he stroked his beard and then chuckled as he looked back at the screen.
It really is a miracle that you all came here, he sighed. How on earth did I get so lucky?
So, I laughed, how is that Hadron Collider looking?
Arnie said, and his face dropped into a scowl. It looks like everything is doing what it's meant to.
He hesitated and drummed his fingers on the desk as he zoomed in on something that looked like a pipe on the screen. What's wrong? I asked. Is it not going to work? Becca pulled on a strand of her hair as she leaned over to look at the screen, and we all stayed silent while Arnie muttered to himself and moved around the graphs. Haywan looked at me with wide blue eyes, and I gave her a reassuring smile, even though I could feel a knot forming in my stomach. Every second that Arnie was silent felt like an hour, and even Leo's face had a flicker of sadness as we watched the scientist.
There's something not quite right, Arnie finally muttered.
And he turned his chair to look at me. What is it? I asked quickly. Can you fix it?
It seems to be resetting, he said. The problem is it seems to be going much slower than it normally would. There's been a slight change in temperature recently, and sometimes the colder months give the pipes a little shock. It may just be needing a slightly longer reset than normal. From what I can tell, there is nothing which would prevent it from working entirely. I say we give it another hour or so, and if it hasn't started up by then, then we can try resetting once more.
Kat's shoulders dropped, and Becca put both her hands on her head. I didn't know what to say. We couldn't keep waiting around, but at the same time, there was nothing else to do. Fuck. Okay, I said as calmly as I could. How about we go to Leo's ship and check the map? Maybe we can get a clearer idea of how much time we have. Perhaps, the male alien replied with pursed lips. I said before, I cannot say for definite in human times.
But,
Adhara added,
we will be able to see if they are nearing the solar plane. That would mean we're too late,
Becca groaned.
But we may see them in another solar plane first,
Adhara added.
This would mean we have some human hours, I believe.
Leo looked at her as if he wanted to argue, but he had clearly learned enough human traits to realize Becca was close to picking up every computer in the room and hurling them into the walls. I know, I said as I walked over to the beautiful blonde. How about we grab some of that food next door on our way? We haven't had breakfast yet, and we have two pregnant ladies who need to be fed. Becca nodded as her brown eyes welled up with tears, and I laced an arm around her slim waist. Yes, Arnie nodded as he picked his sword hilt back up. I'll have a chat with Mateo when we get back to the dome. Maybe he will have some insight. I gave Becca a squeeze and then headed for the door to make our way back out into the hall. Carefully, I pulled the handle and stepped out of the musty room and over the dead raptor. We should get rid of that, I said as I glanced down at the body, before its packmates find it and attack the computer room.
On it,
Kat said as she aimed her sharp gun at the body, and she pulled the evaporating lever on the bronze weapon. Then I gestured for the rest of the group to gather outside the kitchen supply door as the smell of fried dino started to drift through the air. Okay, I said quietly and glanced down either side of the corridor. Arnie, how about you have a go with that sword? You might need to use it one day. The old man nodded enthusiastically and hit the button on the hilt to bring the black blade to life.
Oh, my! He laughed with boyish joy. Makes me feel a bit like a Sith Lord.
Try slicing through the lock, I instructed. And Arnie carefully raised the sword up high before he brought the blade down to the small gap between the door and the wall. The sword made a dull hiss as the searing hot blade made contact with metal and wood, and there was suddenly a charred hole where the lock used to be.
Oh, marvelous,
Arnie whispered, and Haywan grabbed the door to swing it open. The room was dark, and when Haywan pulled at the string on the ceiling, the light bulb only flickered on and off. It was enough to illuminate shelves stacked with tinned food, pasta, and various packets of chips. Nice, I grinned. Let's bring some supplies back to the dome.
I'm starving,
Becca said.
When was the last time we ate?
I can't remember,
Haywan groaned.
There's plenty of chips and protein bars here. Make sure we pack them all up, and we can fuel up soon.
I looked at my two pregnant wives and grabbed a nearby box of cereal bars. I tore off the lid and threw one to Becca and Haywan. You're both eating for two, I said. Keep your energy up, okay? The girls nodded and tore open the snacks to wolf them down. There was a roll of trash bags on one of the shelves, and Arnie quickly pulled one off before he started to fill it with food. Adhara did the same, and we soon had two full bags of supplies. I stood in the corridor with Kat as they packed, and we kept an eye out in the dimly lit hallway for any signs of raptors. It was a struggle to think about anything other than the descending fleets, and I knew that even if we did have a few hours left, it might not be enough time to get on board the mothership. I didn't know how long the process to travel with the black holes would take, and even if we got on board, we would have to locate Adhara's parents and then convince them to stop the war. What if they just shot us down on sight? They might think we were there to bargain in return for their hostage daughter before we even had a chance to show off our gillless torsos and explain the whole situation. I gripped the cool metal of my sharp gun and tried to push those negative thoughts out of my mind. I had a family to protect, and I knew that fogging up my brain with worst-case scenarios wasn't going to help anything. All I could do was go one step at a time and make sure to mow down any scaly fuckers that tried to touch my girls.
Okay,
Haywan hissed behind me.
Let's get out of here.
I nodded and started to lead the group back around the corner toward the lobby area. We stepped quietly along the linoleum floor, and the only sound was the gentle rustle of the bags of food. It only took a few minutes to get back to the entrance of Building 33, and we managed to reach the shattered doorway without running into any more dinos. Then I carefully stepped over the broken glass and looked out to see a clear path to the ships. "Looks good," I said over my shoulder. "A straight run to Leo's ship, okay?" The group nodded, and I made my way out onto the blood-stained steps. There were roars everywhere, and even though no dinosaurs were close enough to worry about, the sound of so many of them sent chills down my spine. I stayed focused on the glistening crafts ahead and kept a watchful eye on the pale blue sky as we ran. I was worried the rustle of the food bags would draw attention, but I could hear violent roars in the distance which seemed to drown out most other noises. It sounded like something huge was arguing with something equally as huge, and I wondered if there was some poor bastard being fought over for lunch. We hadn't seen many dinos fighting each other recently. They mostly seemed to have joined forces in order to kill the humans. Although, if human meat was sparse, then I figured the carnivorous would have to resort back to attacking their own kind. We reached the ships without incident, and Leo ran ahead to jump through the back of the craft. The force field quickly buzzed off, and I let the girls and Arnie through before I jumped in at the end. Then we hurried into the green-hued control room, and Leo already had the map in his hands as Adhara leaned over his shoulder. They muttered in their native tongue, and Arnie's eyes were wide as he watched them.
"What a beautiful language," he whispered to me. "Isn't it extraordinary?"
"It's pretty cool," I agreed, but I was more focused on trying to read Adhara's face than what their words sounded like. The gorgeous alien had her mouth scrunched up as she pointed at the screen, and her emerald eyes were narrowed while she spoke. Leo's expression gave away less, as usual. His mouth was a straight, stoic line, and his tilted head was the only sign of expression he had as he watched the map.
"I really hope it's good news,"
Kat said as she shuffled her feet.
"We're so fucking close. We just need a few more hours."
Haywan nodded.
"It just needs a little while longer, right, Arnie?"
"I think so, dear,"
the scientist replied kindly. But he didn't meet her eyes when he spoke.
"It is not within this solar plane yet,"
Adhara said, and Kat let out a huge breath. "Okay," I said. "And are you able to give us any form of estimate? Surely you can track it if it's going to appear in the next few hours."
"It is difficult,"
the beautiful alien sighed.
"Like I told you, we can only track it when it appears in new solar planes. It does not track when in movement." "Can you guess?"
Haywan asked desperately.
"I could,"
Adhara said as she stared down at the map.
"But it maybe is not right."
"We think ship will be in orbit soon," Leo said. "Adhara says maybe in one human turn of sun."
There was silence in the ship as we stared at the aliens.
"One day?"
Kat asked in a small voice.
"It is my guess,"
Adhara nodded.
"But like I told, it is not for definite."
"Okay," I said, and my mouth felt dry as I spoke. "One day, if that is right, is enough. We can do this. Arnie and Mateo will work out what's going on, and then the Hadron Collider will be making those black holes in no time."
"Yeah,"
Becca said quietly.
"Exactly. One day is absolutely fine."
"We've come up against tough shit before,"
Kat said.
"This is just another mission."
"Look," I said. "I know we're scared. This is the most important thing any of us will ever do in our lives. But we need to remember how fucking incredible this team is. I did not come all the way from that Cambridge library just to fall at the last hurdle. None of us did."
"We can do it,"
Haywan nodded, and she straightened her shoulders with determination. "Come on," I said. "Let's get back to the dome and see if these guys can work out what to do." I kissed Haywan on the top of her head, and the group started to make their way back out of the ship. Leo carefully set the map down on the control panel, and he glanced at me before he headed out of the green-lit room. I followed behind and barely even noticed the horrendous smell of dino funk that came with stepping out into the open air. We quickly made our way to the dome entrance and pushed the door open to pile into the circular lobby.
"Right," Arnie said, as he clutched his bag full of food. "Let's get up to the others, then. No time to waste."
We hurried up the wooden ramp and followed the scientist as he led us back to the staff quarters. I put an arm around Hei Wan's shoulders as we walked, and I gripped her tightly as she kept an expression of forced determination on her face. There was no doubt my girls were the most badass women on the planet, and we just needed the smallest hint of good news to be up and fighting again. Arnie had worked at CERN for years, so if anyone could figure out how to fix it, then it must be him. We went through the staff doorway, walked up the short staircase, and arrived outside the white door where the scientists camped out. Arnie swung it open, and we piled into the warm room. Matteo was on the sofa with a book in hand, and Hilda was scribbling something into a notebook at one of the desks.
"What's that?"
she asked as her eyes fell on the bag. "Food," Arnie replied, and Hilda shot up from her chair. "I'm glad you made it back safely," Matteo said as he got up and helped Arnie lower his bag to the floor. Adhara placed the other bag on the ground, and Hilda hurried over to tear through the findings.
"Where did you get all this?"
the red-haired scientist asked, and Arnie gestured to Adhara.
"The alien sword let me cut through into the supply room," he said. "We certainly owe them our thanks, I would say."
Yes,
Hilda muttered without looking at the aliens.
"Thanks."
"Matteo," Arnie said, "will you sit with me for a moment? I want to pick your brains about the startup process."
"Of course," Matteo replied, and the two men strode to the furthest away desk as they spoke quietly to one another.
Heiwan rifled through one of the food bags and pulled out two huge bags of chips. She opened them both and handed one of the bags to Adhara. The girls huddled around the snack offerings and tore into the food, and it relieved me a bit to see they were taking care of themselves even with so much going on.
"Jason,"
Kat said,
"come grab something to eat. You need all the fighting fuel you can get."
I strode over to the girls and grabbed a handful of chips from Adhara's bag. My mind was so focused on the Hadron Collider that I barely registered the cheesy flavor of the food, and I mindlessly crammed a few handfuls into my mouth. Hilda continued to rummage through the food as well, and Kat eventually walked over to the sofa to sit down. The curly-haired soldier chewed on her lip as she watched the two men talking, and I walked over to join her. I perched on the armrest and ran a hand through my hair as I looked at Kat. "You okay?" I asked, and she nodded.
"It just feels like we're running out of time,"
she muttered.
"I mean, we are running out of time. This isn't some food run or quest to save our parents. The entire fucking world depends on us."
"Yeah," I agreed as I put a hand on her shoulder. "And that means we better stop feeling sorry for ourselves and get this shit done, right?" Kat took a second before she nodded, and she looked up at me with her bright hazel eyes.
"We've got this,"
she said.
"As long as you're here, Jason, we can do this."
"I'll always be here," I said, and leaned down to kiss her soft lips. Hilda cleared her throat, and I pulled away from Kat to see the scientist scowl over at us.
"The world might end soon, bitch,"
Becca snapped.
"Are you really going to tell them off for having a kiss after we just brought you all this food?"
"Yeah, we could do a lot more than kissing,"
Heiwan huffed.
"So keep up the attitude and just see what happens."
Hilda was spared from responding as the other two scientists hurried back over to join us. "Did you work it out?" I asked as I stood up with Kat. "Is it going to be back on soon?" The men glanced at each other, and I felt Kat's hand lace into mine.
"We think there is something missing," Arnie explained as he wrung his hands. "It's rather complicated to explain, but there is one part which may need to be replaced."
"Replaced?" I asked. "Okay, do you have the part here?"
"No," Matteo said flatly. "It's not here, and the storage unit where it would be is way too dangerous."
"Wait, there's a storage unit?" I cut in. "Where is it? We'll go right now."
"When I say dangerous," Matteo said, "I mean the dinosaurs outside this place times 10. You'll die the second you step foot outside the spaceship."
"The entire place is overrun,"
Arnie said, and his light blue eyes were watery.
"We lost contact with everyone in there, but we saw footage of it right before communication went dark."
"It's impossible,"
Hilda whispered.
"Nobody could go there and live longer than 5 minutes."
"We don't have a choice," I said firmly. "If we sit here and do nothing, then we'll die anyway. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to let my family get hurt." I meant it, even though the scientists' faces all told me how perilous the trip would be.
If I only had one day left on Earth, I would spend it doing everything in my power to save my family, no matter how many fucking dinosaurs I had to cut down to do it.